Hey, welcome to the Growth Dummy summary of Unshakable by Tony Robbins. Unshakable is Tony Robbins' guide to simple investing. He shows us how to achieve financial freedom and security. You'll learn about smart investing tools like index funds, compound interest, and diversification. You'll also see how to avoid losing money due to fear and fees. Our top quote from this book is, "Nobody can predict consistently whether the market will rise or fall," end quote. Many of us feel overwhelmed just hearing the word investing. We may have heard that investing is incredibly complicated or risky, so we're afraid of making a wrong decision and losing money. But if you follow the right investing strategy, then there's no reason to feel overwhelmed or worried. In this book, Tony Robbins explains the simple rules for investing safely and profitably. This isn't about gambling to get rich quick. This is about growing our wealth on a rock-solid, secure foundation so we have peace of mind for our families and our future. What's the end goal? Getting our money to work for us instead of us always needing to work for money. Tony Robbins also calls it making money your slave instead of being a slave to money. By the way, another super popular personal finance book is called Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. In that book, Kiyosaki shares his story of growing up with both a poor dad, his biological father, and a rich dad, which was his best friend's father, who was also a successful local entrepreneur. His rich dad taught him many important lessons about building wealth, and the most important lesson echoes the message of this book. Here's a quote from Rich Dad Poor Dad. Rich Dad explained this point of view over and over, which I call lesson number one. The poor and the middle class work for money. The rich have money, work for them. End quote. So if you want to learn more of the fundamentals of how people become wealthy, then also go read our summary of Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. But back to this book. Who is Tony Robbins? He's probably the number one motivational speaker in the world. He packs stadiums full of people to hear him speak. He's a best-selling author, he's coached big celebrities like Oprah Winfrey, and we don't even need to talk about that big private island he bought in Fiji. All this is to say, if Tony Robbins isn't successful, then I don't know who is. But he definitely didn't start out that way. At 17 years old, his abusive mother kicked him out of the house, and he was working a ridiculous number of hours every day at poor, bad jobs just to survive. Eventually, he found his calling as a coach and a speaker. He succeeded by studying other successful people like a detective. He was sure that if he could find the patterns of behavior that led to their success, then he and other people could copy those behaviors and become successful too. Today, many people, including a few of my personal friends, credit Tony with changing the course of their lives. So let's jump into the first lesson of this Unshakable summary. Number one, choose index funds. They provide reliable long-term growth with low fees. Since this is a book for investing beginners, let's quickly cover some basics. First of all, what is a stock? It's a small part of a company that anyone can buy or sell. For example, if you wanted to, then you could buy a small fraction of the Disney company by buying one of their stocks. Then, if Disney grows more successful in the future, then your stock also becomes worth more money. Usually, people imagine investing as this type of stock picking, like we need to carefully choose the right stocks to become wealthy. And if we choose the wrong stocks, then we could lose our money. Well, that is risky, isn't it? It's like trying to predict the future. And the truth is that it's very difficult to guess which companies will be successful in the future. Even the experts are wrong most of the time. Just ask Kodak or Blockbuster. The good news is Tony Robbins recommends a very different investing strategy. This is the same simple strategy that billionaires like Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, and Ray Dalio recommend to their family members. And it all centers on index funds. An index fund is like a collection of all the stocks in a market. So when you put money into an index fund, you're not just picking one stock, you're picking them all. That's right, you're putting an equal bit of money into every bigger stock in a market. For example, have you ever heard of the S&P 500? That is just a list of the 500 biggest US companies, including Amazon, Apple, Google, Walmart, McDonald's, etc. So if you bought an S&P 500 index fund, then you would be investing equally into all 500 of those company stocks at the same time. Index funds are great because they make investing far more safe and predictable. You see, individual stocks have always been risky and individual companies can always go out of business, but the stock market as a whole has always gone up over the long term. And that means if you invest in every company on the market, then you're almost guaranteed to have your money grow over time. Now, yes, there have been many shorter term market crashes, but we'll talk about those in a few minutes. A summary of lesson one, trying to pick the right individual stocks is very risky, so Tony Robbins recommends we invest in index funds, which means putting an equal bit of money into every bigger stock on the market. This ensures our money will grow over the longer term. Now we have lesson two, compound your wealth. Your savings will grow faster through the math of compound interest. How much could your money grow through index funds? Well, more than you might expect. Tony writes, quote, "The S&P 500 returned an average of 10.2% a year from 1985 to 2015. Let's say you'd invested $50,000 in 1985. How much would it have been worth by 2015? The answer, $941,000. That's right, almost $1 million, end quote. This sounds surprising because we mostly hear the negative news about the stock market. We hear about the crashes that happen every few years and assume the stock market is a big roller coaster. In reality, the stock market has grown about 10% per year on average for decades, which is about 7% after inflation is accounted for. Yes, it is true, there are some years when the markets crash by 20, 30%, but in the longer term, these losses are more than made up for by the growth during the good years. So the key is to see investing as a long-term game. You put your money in for 10, 20, 30 years or longer. Then if there's a recession, you will appear to lose money for a few years. But if you stay calm, keep your money invested, then it will eventually recover and your wealth will grow by about 10% per year. The reason why investing can pay off so much over the long term is because of something called compound interest. So we first have to explain what interest is. When your money grows through investing, that growth is called interest. For example, if you invest $100 and it grows by 10%, then you now have $10 more than before, and we would say that you made 10% interest. So compound interest is when this growth continues into the following years and multiplies by itself. Compound interest is when your past interest starts to generate its own interest. So going back to that last example we had, let's say you had that $110 and the second year it grows by another 10%. Well, this time you made an extra dollar from those $10 of the first year's interest. So basically compound interest is when your previous earned interest generates its own interest. And while this effect may sound small in this example, over decades and over many tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, it can become a tremendous force. And that's why Tony Robbins can say that $50,000 invested in 1985 in the S&P 500 would have grown to almost $1 million by 2015. A summary of this second lesson, interest is when your money grows from investing. Compound interest is when you earn interest not just from the money you saved, but also from past interest. This effect can make your money grow a lot faster than you expect. Now lesson three, Avoid mutual funds. They perform worse and cost more than index funds. While we've been talking about the benefits of index funds and compound interest, you should know that most people put their savings into something called mutual funds. Mutual funds are also a collection of stocks, but a fund manager is picking which individual stocks go into this fund. Now, in a perfect world, having some professionals pick the stocks for us sounds like a great idea. You know, they'll pick the good stocks that are more likely to grow. However, research shows that mutual funds simply don't perform as advertised. They usually grow our money slower than index funds, especially when the higher fees that they have are accounted for. Tony writes in the book, quote, "One of the most shocking studies I've seen on this topic of mutual fund performance was by an industry expert named Robert Arnott, founder of Research Affiliates. He studied all 203 actively managed mutual funds with at least $100 million in assets, tracking their returns for the 15 years from 1984 through 1998. And you know what he found? Only 8 of those 203 funds actually beat the S&P 500 index. That's less than 4%, end quote. So that quote means 96% of the most successful mutual funds failed to beat a simple index fund that can be managed automatically by a computer. And that is despite the mutual funds being run by very highly paid professional investors. And remember, just because a mutual fund has done well in the past few years doesn't mean it will continue to perform well in the future. In this book, Tony Robbins often repeats the mantra, "Today's winners are often tomorrow's losers." And finally, let's keep in mind that financial advisors who work at banks and other investment places are often highly incentivized to sell mutual funds. They can make a lot more money selling those funds instead of mentioning index funds, because mutual funds have those higher fees, so they make a lot more money for the company. That doesn't exactly sound like unbiased advice to me. So, a summary of this third lesson. Mutual funds are collections of stocks picked by professional fund managers. In theory, they should grow our savings faster, but studies show 96% of mutual funds have performed worse than simple index funds in the past. Now we have lesson 4, avoid fees. They eat up a significant part of retirement savings for most people. Typically, mutual funds have fees of 2% or more. Now, at first, that doesn't sound like much, but that will cost you a large part of your wealth over a lifetime. When you consider that the average yearly growth of, let's say, index funds after inflation may be around 7%, then 2% of fees means that you're paying one-third of your retirement savings just in fees. When Tony talked to the investing legend Jack Bogle, he heard the negative impact of these fees explained clearly. And here's a quote from the book of Jack Bogle talking, quote, "Let's assume the stock market gives a 7% return over 50 years. At that rate, because of the power of compounding, each dollar goes up to $30. But the average fund charges you about 2% per year in costs, which drops your average annual return to 5%. At that rate, you get $10. So $10 versus $30. You put up 100% of the money, you took 100% of the risk, and you get 33% of the return." End quote. So index funds have far lower fees, usually less than 0.5%. Why are they so much cheaper? Well, first, they're mostly automated. A team of highly paid bank managers are not needed to pick stocks because index funds can be managed automatically through a computer. The second reason, they often don't give sales commissions. The low fees of index funds aren't very profitable for banks and other places, so financial advisors can't make big commissions. And third, they have lower trading fees. Every time a mutual fund buys or sells a stock, they pay a trading fee, and these costs add up. On the other hand, index funds buy and hold the same stocks for years or decades at a time, which means there are far fewer trading fees. more and more people are catching on to the benefits of index funds over the currently dominant mutual funds. According to the Wall Street Journal, people shifted over $400 billion into index funds in 2016, which was a new record, and I'm sure this trend will continue. By the way, another great personal finance book is The Millionaire Teacher by Andrew Hallam. He also enthusiastically promoted the benefits of index funds, and one of the most useful parts of his book explains the common sales arguments for mutual funds that you will hear from bank employees and financial advisors. So the big lesson from that book is that you should be prepared and expect resistance if you mention index funds. So you can learn more about that and more in-depth investing tips in our summary of The Millionaire Teacher by Andrew Hallam at growth.me. But back to this book. A summary of lesson 4. Mutual funds have fees of 2% or more. It doesn't sound like much, but can cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars over a lifetime. Index funds usually have fees of under 0.5% because they're mostly automated. And now lesson 5. Remain calm. Market folds are normal and predictable. Here's a quote. When any market falls by at least 10% from its peak, it's called a correction, a peculiarly bland and neutral term for an experience that most people relish about as much as dental surgery. When a market falls by at least 20% from its peak, it's called a bear market, end quote. When fear takes over, people make their worst investing decisions. When we're scared, we can easily make decisions that totally derail our long-term investing success. Now, it's easy to imagine that we will stay calm during the next market correction or crash. But when you wake up one morning and see you've lost 20% of your life savings overnight, then it's hard not to feel worried and anxious. And the worst part is, if you look at the news during one of these temporary market falls, then you'll always see the talking heads moaning about how this is the end. It happens every time. Now, to be fair, that's their job. The news must scare people enough so their eyes stay glued permanently onto their TV screens or the websites, and then they sell our attention to their advertisers so they can pay their mortgages. That is literally their business model. The best way to remain sane, calm, and rational during these market downturns is to learn about history. We must learn that market corrections and crashes are normal, predictable, and inevitable parts of investing. It's not a question of if a downturn will happen in the future, but a question of when. Here are a couple facts. First, market corrections have occurred about once a year on average since 1900. And remember, market corrections are at 10% fall from the peak. Second fact, about one-fifth of market corrections turn into a bear market, which is a 20% fall. Bear markets happen every 3 to 5 years on average. This means the next time the market goes down, it's no reason to change your investing strategy, because the market has always bounced back after every correction, bear market, and recession in the past, and there's no reason to believe it will be different in the future. Possibly the biggest mistake that beginner investors make is to sell their investments while they are going down. Fear takes over, and we sometimes panic. Remember that big financial crisis of 2008? Huge institutions were going bankrupt. Billions of dollars were being printed for bailouts. People were losing their homes across the country. The stock market took a nosedive. It lost about 50% of its value from October 2007 to March 2009. But look at what happened next. Starting in March 2009, the economy bounced back, and over the next 7 years, the stock market more than tripled in value, restoring all the wealth that had been lost and then shooting to new peaks. That means the worst move someone could have made during that crisis was to sell their investments during the most depressing time. That would have locked in those losses permanently. A good move would have been to stay invested, and the best move would have been to actually buy as many new stocks as possible during the crash. And that's exactly what the richest investors do. While the talking heads on the news are getting hysterical, intelligent investors are buying more than ever while the stock prices are cheap. Here's a simple quote from Warren Buffett that he said around 2009. It sums this up perfectly. Quote, "A simple rule dictates my buying. Be fearful when others are greedy, and be greedy when others are fearful. And most certainly, fear is now widespread." End quote. Here's a summary of lesson 5. A market correction is when stocks fall by 10%, and this has happened once a year on average since 1900. A bear market is when stocks fall by 20% or more. These happen every 3 to 5 years on average. These market falls are normal and predictable, so remain calm and stay invested. Now lesson 6, diversify. This helps you avoid losing money while investing. Diversification means having your money invested in many different types of assets. And this can help you avoid losing money because when one type of investment that you have is doing poorly, you can still have other types of investments which are doing well. In plain English, this is about not putting all your eggs in one basket. For example, you shouldn't put all your savings in US stocks, even if you believe they will grow faster than most other investments. Because if the US stock market does stagnate or go down, then you'll be in a very bad position for a few years. Instead, you should spread your savings across the US stock market, international stock markets, government bonds, other types of bonds, real estate, and more. Most people believe that top investors are obsessed with making money. Well, after talking to many millionaires and billionaires, Tony Robbins says this is not true. He discovered the best investors are obsessed with not losing money. Warren Buffett even has a famous line that goes, quote, "Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one," end quote. So here are a few good ways we can diversify. First, use index funds. They help us to avoid betting our money on one company. Instead, we're spreading our money across an entire stock market. Second, use many types of investments. This means like a variety of stocks, funds, bonds, real estate, etc. The billionaire Ray Dalio warned Tony, quote, "It's almost certain that whatever asset class you're going to put your money in, there will come a day when you lose 50% to 70%. Okay, the third way to diversify is to spread your money across many countries and economies. You never know when one country's growth will stall. For example, in the 1980s, the Japanese stock market looked unstoppable, and then it suddenly fell and hasn't really recovered for decades. During most of the 2000s, the US stock market grew by just 1.4% per year, which many call the lost decade. Okay, the fourth way is buy investments over time. This is also called dollar cost averaging. You see, nobody really knows when the cheapest time to buy an investment is. However, if you slowly purchase your investments over time, then you can avoid spending all your money at the most expensive time. Okay, so in summary of this sixth lesson, diversification is spreading your money over many types of investments like different countries, different stock markets, bonds, real estate, etc. With this strategy, your wealth can keep growing even when one part of the economy stops. And now we have lesson 7, Beyond Finances, Achieve True Emotional Wealth Through Growth, Giving, and Gratitude. At the end of this book, Tony Robbins shifts the focus away from finances. Tony is a very rich man, and he knows many other rich and famous people. And Tony says most people who get wealthy don't feel different inside like they had expected to. In fact, many of the wealthiest people in the world live in fear that they could lose everything. Is that the kind of wealth most of us imagine achieving? Probably not. Tony says, quote, "What we really want are the emotions we associate with money. For example, the sense of freedom, security, or comfort we believe money will give us, or the joy that comes from sharing our wealth," end quote. To achieve that kind of wealth, Tony says we must focus on growth, giving, and gratitude. So number one is growth. We must keep growing. To avoid feeling miserable and unfulfilled, we must keep moving ahead towards our desired visions of the future. Now, considering you're on growth.me, I think you're doing well here. And by the way, Phil Knight is the founder of Nike, the most successful sports clothing company in the world. Although Phil is a billionaire today, he says the most meaningful times of his life were the early days, the times when he was struggling to grow his company and selling shoes from the trunk of his car. Phil says, "Life is growth. You grow or you die." You can read his inspirational story of entrepreneurship with our summary of his autobiography, Shoe Dog, by Phil Knight. Okay, second is giving. We have to give and share. Giving our time, attention, and our resources to others is what makes most of us feel the most meaning in life. Perhaps a lot of people in modern society feel a bit hollow and empty because we are become more focused on consuming rather than giving in a lot of the modern culture. Okay, and finally, gratitude. Rarely do we stop to enjoy all the good things in life. We take them for granted, we obsess over our current problems and what we lack. However, when we can slow down and feel grateful for what we do have, a shelter, a friend, a lover, a family member, safety, art, music, nature, then we have the power to put ourselves into a beautiful state. When Tony Robbins feels himself slipping into some type of suffering, a suffering state, this is what he does. First, he breathes and slows down, which creates some distance between him and the thoughts pulling him into suffering. And then he redirects his focus to gratitude and appreciation. Here's a quote from Sir John Templeton: "To overcome fear, the best thing is to become overwhelmingly grateful." Okay, so a summary of this last lesson. People don't really want money, but the feelings money can bring them, like security, significance, and freedom. Yet many people become rich and still live in fear of losing it all. So we must focus on emotional wealth, which is attainable through growth, giving, and gratitude. Okay, so I hope you've learned a lot of great tips for investing in this book. I think it's a great introduction to a lot of these fundamental ideas. My favorite part of this book was the focus on extinguishing the fear that we have through learning about the historical patterns of the stock market. What about you? And by the way, if you like Tony Robbins, then I think you'll also enjoy the classic book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That author wanted to find out what made people successful, driven, and motivated, so he interviewed over 500 millionaires, including big names like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison. In the end, he discovered wisdom that was simple yet timeless. Wisdom like, have a burning desire for what you want, follow a definite plan, and have faith your plan will succeed. So if you need to get your inner fire burning bread again, then I recommend you look at our book summary of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill at growth.me. So that's all for this book summary. I'll see you in the next one.